Tomorrow is November 1st. You know what that means, right? What does that mean? Okay, for some people, they're thinking, well, that means winter's almost here and weather's going to get bad. And you know, but it's also for others, it's what we call the holiday season. And for many people, that is a wonderful day. You are so looking forward to having your grandkids around you for Thanksgiving and for Christmas. But there are an awful lot of people that this is a really tough time of year. You're already trying to figure out how you're going to deal with the issues in your family. You know, we have family members that we already, you know, some of you husbands and wives, you moms and dads, you're already planning this. Okay, so who's going to be there, right? How long do we have to stay? You know, you've already warned your children about that one uncle that nobody goes around. You know, every family has this. And we live in a time right now where it can be very, very, very hard. But I want to talk really about that thing about the relationships, the issue of relationships in our world today. The holidays tend to expose the really, really good in families, and holidays tend to expose the really, really bad. The really, really hard. Holidays are a time many times where it exposes the great joy that some families feel, but it also exposes the great sadness that others feel. There are many people in this room, you will not be able to be with your loved ones. And that is heartbreaking. That's hard. For others of you, you have to be with your loved ones. And that is also difficult. It can be. Look, there are sometimes holidays tend to bring out the most wonderful memories you've ever had in your life. But at other times, they bring out memories that you wish you could forget. And so as I sat this last couple of weeks, I was also thinking about there's so many people that I'm aware of now. Not just in the world, but even people that I know within my circle of acquaintances and friends and church members and family that are going through. I know couples that are going through terrible breakups. Couples are having a hard time. They have realized they just can't live together. I think about friendships that are breaking up. I've seen friendships that you know that you would have thought would have been very, very, would have been here forever, but they've broken up. I've seen people that just they come up with conflicts that they just can't deal with, and so my mind is and my heart has been very, very heavy about relationships here lately. And so on the other hand, I have been very, very blessed. In the year 2021, I have done 5 weddings of people over the age of 40. That's a great thing. I love that. And in fact, three of them were over the age of 60. Now, how wonderful is that? In fact, I just met with a couple on Friday they reconnected after graduating from high school 46 years ago. And they're getting married in March. They've asked me to do it, and they're going to move to this area. So you'll get to meet them, but it's just an amazing thing. I mean, can you imagine after 46 years? And in fact, both of them have been single for over 20 years. I personally think that is a wonderful thing. I don't think people ought to be alone if they don't want to be. And so we've got this both sides of this coin. And so the question that I've been pondering about, I've been thinking about the last couple of weeks, is what is this thing about relationships? How are these, why are some relationships, why do they come together? Why do people come together, form a romantic relationship or a friendship or a business partnership? And then why do they, the ones who stay together, one of the things I think you're the most blessed about with watching Herman and Joanna sing together is the fact that they're singing together.
Amen.
After all, how many years?
40.
40 years.
It will be the 21st day of this month.
Okay. 40 years.
I haven't got a song after all these years.
So, you know, still making beautiful, you know, but that's part of the charm, right?
Yes, yes.
That why are they still together? How did they?
If you do what you're told.
I'm going to get to that. I'm actually going to get to that. That actually works.
Amen.
Why do people stay together? Why do people not stay together? Why do friendships break up? And I'll tell you what, I believe, you can go ahead and put the title up. I'll tell you, the reason that I believe it all comes down to one word. And it's the word chemistry. Now, that gets used, kind of thrown around. You know, people say, oh, we just have this chemistry. That's actually more true than you realize. So what is chemistry? Chemistry is the branch of science that deals with why certain elements come together and bond together, why they stay together, and why some of them don't stay together, and why some don't come together. So there is a chemistry in relationships. Now, I'm going to warn you right off the bat, Diane, there's going to be a little science today. Okay? Yeah. Diane's the only one who likes that. Sherry hates that. So, obviously, I care more about Diane's feelings than I do Sherry's feelings. No, there's a chemistry. Let me share this with you. I've got a lot to say. I've got to stay close to my notes here. So when we think about this, you know, we deal with this issue the same with people. There's a reason why certain people come together and stay together. There's a reason why people try to come together and can't stay together. And it's all about this same concept. So give me a few minutes here. Give me about 10 minutes to take you back to school and talk about, and for our teenagers, there's some teenagers in there that are like, are you serious? In fact, we have a guest today, and she's like, really? A couple of guests, and they're like, okay, if I wanted this, I'll go to, you know, I'll get this tomorrow. Bear with me. Let's go back to school for just a few minutes, and let's remember our days of chemistry. You know, I'm sort of testing out a thought today, and if it sticks, I may spend a little bit of time with this on Wednesday evenings. But what principle or law, if I asked you what principle or law is the best predictor or is the biggest factor in people coming together and staying together or coming apart? Now, a lot of people would say love. Well, love, I think it was it Captain Tennille who said, love will keep us together?
Yeah.
Is that who that was? And I think once again, our young people are like, really? So yeah, that's really not completely true. And I'll tell you why. Because I know people who really love each other, but they don't like each other. They love each other, but they can't stay together. They don't work well together. Look, let me tell you something. It is possible for two people, even in a church, to love each other but not be able to serve together. Because there is something inside of us that has an effect on our, I'll use the word, bonding with one another. So let me develop this morning, please. It's chemistry. It's you know, let's do this. One of the questions that we all have to struggle with, that we all have to wrestle with today, we all have to wrestle with as human beings, is what am I really like on the inside? Who am I really on the inside? We all know who we are on the outside, right? I know who Tom is on the outside. Tom knows who I am on the outside. But the question today is, does Tom know who he is on the inside? And do I? So let me show you what God has to say about this. The writer of the book of James gives us one of the most powerful verses in Scripture, I think, with regard to relationships. Notice what he said. James chapter 4 and verse 1. He asks a question here that I'm going to pose, and then he answers the question, and we're going to talk about it. He said, from whence come war? That's the old English way of saying from where. Where do the whence come wars and fightings among you? So he's asking the question. He said, look, in essence, why do we fight with each other? Hey, why do husbands and wives fight with each other? What? I'm not even going to repeat that. Why do they? Why do parents and children fight with each other? Why do good, honest people fight with each other? Why do business partners sometimes fight with each other? Why do these people that? Why do we come to a church and even within a church we can have people that fight? He said, the reason that there's wars and fightings among you is because of this. He said, come they not hence? He's asking, it's a rhetorical question. He said, basically, they come even of the lust that war where? In your members. In other words, he said, there is a war going on inside of each one of us. And that is why we have wars among us. In other words, if you don't have, you would not have a conflict with someone around you if you didn't first have a conflict within you. Well, what is that conflict? Well, that's what we're going to talk about today. So there's going to be a conflict. He said there's going to be a conflict between us if there's a conflict in me, and there is a conflict in me. In other words, the way that I am wired is what causes me to have conflict with some people. Have you ever had this? You ever said something like this? Okay, so Dwayne and I have an issue. I mean, we just can't get along. Now, that's not true. But pretend for a minute. And have you ever had somebody like that? And you're like, I don't know why anybody's your friend. Right? I don't know why everybody doesn't hate you like I hate you. You sit and scratch your head because the person who drives you crazy, the person you can't stand to be around, or the person you just have this constant conflict with, and you cannot understand why everybody doesn't have that conflict with that person. You follow me? Right? The reason is because you're wired differently than everybody else is wired. You've got a different war going on inside of you. There's something that you have going on inside of you that is in conflict with what that person does. See, what that person does may not be what's actually causing the problem. The problem may be because you're wired differently and you're much more prone to be upset by what that person does, whereas other people don't see it as a big deal. You follow me? So what James is trying to tell us here, he's saying it's really important that you understand what war is going on inside of you, or you will never be able to really control the relationships that you have in your life. You're going to have some problems. So let me get real practical here. You see, I got to go back to chemistry. All right, here we go. So you all remember this periodic table of elements, right? How many of you just love seeing that? There's some of you, you're going, it's bringing back all kinds of anxiety. You're hating that. Periodic table, this is basically all the elements in our universe, what everything's made of. Now, every element, an atom of any element, let's go to the next one. So for example, an oxygen, we have here, we have these elements, these individual elements. Basically, there are two kinds of ways that atoms come together. And again, let me say this. If you want to go to recess at 11:15, pay attention. Okay? Because if you don't, we're going to be here longer. So there's two ways that atoms basically come together. They either come together in what's called an ionic bond or an ionic relationship, or something called a covalent. How many, those words coming back to you?
Yeah.
You remember those from, you remember the difference?
No.
So basically, an ionic bond is one where you have an electrical charge difference. If something, usually atoms have the same number of protons as electrons, and so they're balanced electrically. But if they're not, they're called an ion. So if something is short or long on an electron, it has an imbalance in its electron, and it's running around looking for someone to either give away that electron to or someone to take an electron from. Covalent bond. You remember this, Misha? You're not like, are you a chemist?
You.
Oh. Is that studying the stars? No, that's makeup, isn't it? Yeah. colors. So you get that. The other kind of bonding that elements do is something called covalent. That's where they just simply share electrons. Now, I've cut out a whole bunch because, it's probably time to do that. But here's the thing. Just like atoms do this. So basically, there's two ways that atoms come together to make a molecule. There's either givers and takers, or there's something called sharers, where they simply share electrons. Either one of those can work. Either one of those types of relationships can work. See, this is the same way people come together. This is the same way people come together. Sometimes people are looking for the first kind of a relationship there. A giver and a taker. And sometimes people want to just simply share their lives, share their money, share their feelings, share their thoughts, share their experiences, and so forth. Now, because I've cut out a lot of this, I hope this is still going to make sense to you. Either one of these types of relationships can work. However, we have to understand that for a relationship to be long and healthy, these are the only two possibilities. So what happens is oftentimes, for example, people of the same electric charge, the atoms of the same electric charge, both negative or both positive, they can't live together. Neither can two takers. In human terms, by the way, the Bible says that the things that we see on the outside are made of things that we can't see. We're made of atoms, and the same concepts here with us as people. two takers cannot live together. Two takers cannot have a relationship together. In fact, you know, when we think about, you know, we have to ask ourselves, what is it that I'm struggling? What is it that I'm wanting in a relationship? I think one of the things, you know, that we have to understand about somebody in this kind of a relationship, these givers and takers, two takers cannot live together. They can't function together. They can't stay friends. They can't stay lovers. They can't stay business partners if they're two. So I think one of the things that we all have to struggle with when we talk and when we look at our lives and we look back over a history of relationships, I think we all need to ask ourselves, why do I have such problems in relationships? Wow. Man, is it quiet. Listen, if you've got a history, again, you all know I love you. Don't you? I love you. But if you've got a history where you can't keep a friend, can't keep a lover, can't keep partners, can't get along with people, time after time after time. And oftentimes I hear this and I say, well, boy, Pastor, I just don't understand because, I mean, I try and I'm this. We have to stop and ask ourselves, wait a minute, what am I, what's going on inside of me? What kind of a person am I? Am I looking for a relationship to share with somebody or am I a taker? Everything all right? So, you see, two takers can't work. Two selfish people can never get along. In fact, if you're a taker, and we've got to be honest here, this message today is all about looking inside of each one of us. You look inside you, don't look inside the person next to you. See, I know what happened just now. See, what happened just now when I started talking with you, you saw givers and takers, you said, oh yeah, because I'm a giver and this person's a taker. Wait, time out. Do you realize when I say givers and takers, actually that kind of a relationship can work, but a true giver is somebody who actually loves to give. It is a one-way relationship where the person actually loves to give. If you say, I'm in this relationship, you know, I'm a giver, but man, this person just takes too much. Wait. True givers actually love to give. You're probably a sharer. You're probably a sharer, and the relationship problem that you have is because you're a sharer and this person's a taker. Sharers like to share. They don't like to be made to share. Right? Sharers want to share life, share responsibilities, share their. You know, I got to tell you, I was so worried when we went on vacation. I was so worried about Mary sitting over here and, boy, she looks like she actually died during this. I don't know if you've seen her. I was so worried about her. She got so sick before we left. But Mary, I don't know if you know this. Your husband was pitiful. He was pitiful. It was sweet, but it was pitiful. He said, I can't live without her. He said, she's my rock. She's everything to me. I don't know if he says that to you or not, but he says that to his preacher, you know, kind of look good. But you see, they're trying to share life together. They're trying to share their life together. So sharers don't mind, sharers want to share. What they don't want to do, they don't want to be made to give. They don't want to be made, they don't want to be, and so oftentimes I think givers and takers, that can be a very healthy relationship, but I'll be honest with you, there's not very many givers in the world. So if you're a taker, and again, I know that's not anybody in this room. I know that. It's not you. It's the person behind you. I get that. I know that. Or is it? Or is it? You see, a taker is somebody who's constantly looking at the relationships in their lives with respect to what they get out of it. In other words, I want to have friends who do this for me, who give this to me, who make me feel this way, who are good to me in this way. That, folks, I'm sorry. That is a taker. That is a taker. And so takers are going to have a very hard time having relationships with anybody other than givers. And folks, there just aren't very many givers in the world. I guess it probably sounds like I'm trying to convince you not to be a taker. Right? I'm not sure where this is falling with most of you. Maybe it's the science and I lost you. But listen, if you choose to be a taker, you're only going to be able to have a relationship with a giver. If you're a taker, your life is probably a long string of broken relationships. Hurtful relationships. And oftentimes I hear people say, well, you know, Pastor, I just don't feel like anybody is the kind of friend to me that I am to them. And I'm just asking us, stop for a moment and consider, what is it that you're looking for in a relationship? Romantic, friendship, business, neighbors? We have a relationship problem in this world right now. It's chaotic in this world, and it's angry in this world, and it's confused because our world is operating this way. Our world is operating on this. Let me just put it right out here. Our world right now is filled with the loudest voices in it are takers. The loudest voices that we hear every single day in our lives are takers. They want everybody else to be givers. I think most of God's people and even most human beings, I think most human beings, they want to share. Is it not natural in us as human beings to want to share? You know, if I brought two people up here, if I brought Tom and I brought, what's your name? If I brought them up here, if I brought Stephen and Tom up here, and Tom had two $10 bills in his pocket and Stephen had none, which is probably true, there's something in Tom that would want to share that with Stephen. We want to do that. They want to share. What are you waiting for? Sorry, I opened the door, I don't know. Look, we want to share with people, yes? Don't you want to share with people who don't have what you have? And even if they do have it, don't you still like to share? There's something in us we want to share. What we do not want is for somebody to demand that, to demand us to be givers. And the loudest voices we have and the most problems in relationships that I come across as a pastor who counsels about 30 to 40 hours a week. There are a whole bunch of takers who don't realize you're a taker. They don't realize they're takers. Because everything in the relationship is being viewed by what you get out of it. Now, if that is who you are, if that's the war going on inside of you, you can find somebody who is a true giver. But there's not very many out there. So is it possible to go from being this give-and-take relationship to a sharing relationship? Is it possible for somebody, a child of God, to change and stop being a taker and instead be a sharer? It is possible. I'll prove it to you. We have mothers in the room, yes? How many of you are mom? Raise your hand. You know, moms, when they have children, what kind of a relationship is that? That is a give-and-take relationship, right? Moms basically give to their children. That is the natural thing. They give. I remember, I'll never forget, and I'll never not feel guilty about the fact that for a couple of years, when Victoria started coming to New Hope, we were downtown, she'd come in the wintertime without a coat. I always thought it was because she was stupid. I mean, no, but Chloe always had a coat. Chloe had a couple of coats. Chloe never wanted for anything. You know why? Because moms are givers, and let's face it, children are takers. Right? Children are takers. And it works. But those same moms who are givers can also be sharers in other relationships in their lives, yes? Those children that are takers can also become, hopefully they grow out of that, right? Hopefully they grow out of that. Or have that trained out of them. You see, we can change. We can change. As people, we can change. And by the way, that's why we should never brand somebody for the rest of their lives. You don't brand somebody for the rest of their lives. You know why? Because people can change. And nobody ought to be judged on what they did decades ago. In fact, nobody ought to be judged on anything they've done in the past unless, well, just leave it at that. You see, because people can change. Especially when God gets involved in somebody's life. You know, every single person before they meet Jesus Christ, before the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of us, we probably were all takers. Because a taker is after whatever makes them feel good. Takers go out into the world and they seek whatever they want, and it's all about what I want. And it doesn't mean you don't ever have times of giving. You may be generous. You may have a time where you gave. But for the most part, by and large, without Jesus Christ in my life, I will be a taker. And so will you. And so will you. But when Jesus comes into our lives, now suddenly, look, let me ask you a question. Why did you come here today? Just think about it. Don't answer. Why'd you come here? You came here to share your life. Did you not? We came to share. Why did our worship team get up here and sing for you, to you, and lead you in worship? Because they're trying to share what God has given to them with you. Amen. See, we love to share, don't we? When you think about it, you were made to share. I was made to share. And so we need to examine what's going on inside of us. When we look at the relationships we have now, and by the way, if you've been, you know, divorce comes usually because there was a problem inside of one or both persons, right? We have a lot of divorced folks here. Divorce happens. It happens because people go into relationships not understanding how I'm wired inside. And so conflicts come when you have two takers, right? Or you have a taker and you have a sharer, and that sharer doesn't want to be a giver, and you have conflicts like that, and so divorce happens. Here's my point. If you are looking to a new relationship, and I think you should, by the way, that wedding that I'm going to do in March with this couple that met after 46 years out of high school, I'm marrying them because her pastor of 40 years won't. Won't. Are you kidding me? She's a widow. But she had a divorce in her past. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? So listen, the point is, but don't go into your next relationship without knowing what you are on the inside. Don't go into your next relationship without first figuring out which of these two things are you. And honestly, if you're a taker, it's time to change. The truth is, there's nothing about being a taker. Look, okay, we all have these memories. How many of you remember your grandparents and their marriage? Raise your hand. What looked like probably an ionic relationship with them, it usually was the wife taking care of the husband, yes? That's what you remember. It was that stereotypical, you know, he comes home from work, he sits down in the recliner, she brings him his slippers and his pipe and a newspaper. That's what you all do, right? Oh, no, no. She sits down, he brings her slippers and a pipe. And to us, that looks like a one-way relationship, but it's not. It's not. That's two people simply realizing, hey, they're exercising what the Bible says in honor, preferring one another. That one that looked like the taker probably was spending this whole day working hard in some factory somewhere doing something, and that's his way of giving to her, or she to him. It's called sharing. It's called sharing life. Two sharers have the best life. Period. Period. If you want, and that's for marriage, boyfriend, girlfriend, that's for friendships. We need to take a step back, I think, sometimes and ask ourselves, why did I come to this person in the first place? Why did Tom and I become friends? Tom, I honestly can't think of any time in our relationship, you and me, where it was ever give and take. I don't think it was ever like that. We've just been sharing life together for 20 years, haven't we? Something like that. I have aged better than you, by the way. So, just kidding. It's obvious it's not true. Really? Look, let's take a step back and ask yourself, why did I get involved with this person in the first place? And what is going to keep us together? And it's not love. Love's a part of it. What's going to keep us together is understanding our relationship based on our insides. When you get together with your family this year at Thanksgiving, it is possible to have peace with them. It is possible for you to have peace with those. I know you've got those relatives that have that political view that you don't have. And I mean, you're going to go loaded, like your guns are loaded when you go, right? As soon as they say the wrong thing, boy, as soon as they bring up this president or bring up that president or bring up this thing, and we're ready to go to war with them. Wait, time out. If we will understand how we're wired, why we have the relationship issues we have, not based on what that person does, but based on what my expectations are, then I can deal with that. I can be reasonable. I can change the way I view that person and not have so much conflict. Marriages don't have to end. Friendships don't have to end. Two people that serve together don't have to stop if we will be honest with ourselves about who we are. Is it possible for there to be peace in the world? Well, you know, there's two elements. 70% of our world is covered with oceans, right? Do you know the ocean is basically made up of two things? Water and salt. You know that water is a covalent molecule and salt is an ionic one. And yet they coexist. They coexist because they don't expect each other to operate contrary to their nature. They don't demand that each other, and that's why the world is, that's the most natural substance in the world. And people can be the same way. This is all just an introductory thing. This is just something to think about. I'm not giving you any answers today. I'm just simply telling you there is a way that you can get rid of the conflicts in your relationships, in your life. They don't have to end. They don't have to end. But we got to first be honest with ourselves about who we are. I said, well, you know, can I get the title slide? When I put this up, how many of you thought I was talking about high school chemistry? Yeah. You know, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit can reach deep inside of you, reach deep inside of me, and tell me who I really am. That's what Billy was talking about last week, wasn't it? Looking deep inside of ourselves and being honest with ourselves about this is every relationship that I've had, this is why I got into it. This is what I'm looking for. This is what, when we understand ourselves, then we can, only then can we work on those relationships. Father, thank you for